I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
No, you haven't said.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
I'm Corinne Fisher,
and I'm your fuck boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes. Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? We're very excited about this episode of the podcast where we're going to discuss being addicted to being a pay pig. We're going to talk about masculinity and how dangerous and it is. And we're also going to talk about family drama that happens when you're a kid that involves your parents, one of them cheating with your friend's mom. So welcome to another episode of the show.
Yes, it's the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is, as Christina mentioned, subject line is addicted to being a pay pig. Hi, girls. Huge fan and have something on my mind and think you might be the perfect people to talk to.
Pray tell.
Years ago, I got into being a girl's pay pig via Twitter. I literally just send money for nothing. This gave me a thrill, but soon after I stopped because I found it hard to justify. A few months went by. And the girl came back offering to sell content to continue getting money from me. So I immediately took this up and loved the arrangement.
Nice.
A few years now, I have similar arrangement with around six girls from Twitter.
Yo, that's a lot of money.
None who I know in real life. Uh-oh. I can't seem to go a week without buying something from one of these women. My favorite is to have my penis size degraded.
Nice.
And get some type of humiliation. But the big problem is I might DM one girl when in the mood for this. And if I get no answer, I will DM another and get two back at the same time and end up buying off both, meaning I'm at a stage where my monthly wage is going towards my kink.
Okay.
I would love your general thoughts on this and any advice on how to go about stopping this. Anything missed or any follow-up questions, I'd be happy to answer. All the best. Your biggest Irish fan. Nice guy.
Wow. So what I have a couple ideas that sprung to mind when Corinne was reading this. One is get an AI girlfriend who can, and you can ask her to insult you. I don't know how good she's going to be at it, but maybe you could train her. And I say her, but it's a robot. The other one is open up some additional bank accounts for yourself and put the money in there, but like pretend that it's going to a gal who's telling you you got a tiny dick.
Yeah. And I also think, I mean, to me, this just reeks of gambling addiction and addiction in general. Like I noticed specifically pay pigs, but you have an addiction issue here with this. So you need to fucking control yourself is the main problem, whether that means going to meetings, whether that means having someone else hold on to your money, whether it means blocking some of these girls on Instagram. Don't worry about people's feelings. This is a business. They're not your actual girlfriends. Or friends, everything's going to work out okay for them. When you bring up the point of like, sometimes you're in the mood for something, you know, this, like, it's like you need a fix immediately, like mm-hmm. a drug addict. So you're like, yeah, well, I call someone for a fix. And then if I can't get my fix from there, I reach out to someone else. And then they both reach back out to me. You're under no obligation to buy from both of these women. You know, if they want a better business model, then they got to answer faster. I don't know what to tell everybody.
Also, your enveloped, is that the right, enveloped? I think that's really
enveloped. Yes.
Enveloped and enveloped are the two different things.
I mean, it's the same thing, but I would say in that context, I would say enveloped.
So I was like, I said enveloped. Anyway, in the energy of addiction, as Corinne said, and there's this amazing book called We Are All Addicts by a guy named Carter Stout, C-A-R-D-E-R. I can't recommend that book enough because we're all addicted to something and yours is PayPix, being a PayPig, and it's really costing you. You got to get out of this. But those moments, I think with addiction, it's like the voice in your head says, ooh, this is what we want now. And you go, oh, yes, sir. Okay. It's like you're being a pay pig to your own internal voice. Mm-hmm. And so what's really going to happen for you to break through this? What the actions that need to happen? It's like when they say, how do you stop smoking? Easy. You don't pick up a cigarette. Your hands never touch a cigarette. You'll never smoke a day in your life unless you have like some chick fucking putting up to your mouth. So when you have these urges, somewhere to start is sitting still. And it's going to be like the worst thing that your ego doesn't want to do. And you're going to maybe throw a temper tantrum or whatever, but that's going to get easier. And that's how you can stop this cycle because, you're losing all your money.
Also, baby kinks, like, okay, you have this kink, but you don't always have to pay people for it. It seems like more than the paying, you're addicted to the
degrading,
the people saying that your dick is small. So why don't you have sex with a real life woman and have her tell you that your dick is small?
Also, free service real quick. You could play this back on the podcast. Nice guy. Hey, nice Irish guy. Fuck you. You got a small little cock. I can't even see it. I can't even see it. I see your stomach, but I don't see your little dick. You little bitch.
You have a small, small dick. Does that make you feel like a little baby? Because it's disgusting.
There you go. Now you don't have to pay any of these checks.
Yeah. Wow. But also just like have control over yourself. Is that degrading enough? You fucking loser. Okay. playing. Venmo me. Don't Venmo me. Do not Venmo me. All right. Bonus episodes are back on Luminary. So make sure to check it out if you're a subscriber. Sorry for that little delay there. It was just a contractual issue. Yeah. We were negotiating and we wanted to get those bonus episodes coming back out to you ASAP. So look out.
I'm glad. Yeah.
For one, it's probably there right now.
Yeah. I had to get some things off my chest. The last bonus episode that we just recorded, that's going to be released soon. So it's going to be released by the time you hear this. So if you want to listen, subscribe to Luminary on the Apple Podcast app or on the Luminary app. And then come see us on the road. Toronto, I'm in you July 28th and 29th. Los Angeles, I'm headlining by myself the main room at the Comedy Store, one night only, August 2nd. It's at 10:30 p.m. Get your fucking tickets. San Diego, I'm going to be at American Comedy Company August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Dallas, Texas, technically Fort Worth, but you know, I'm saying Dallas, August 11th and 12th. Make sure to get tickets at ChristinaHutchinson.com. And if you're in the mood for four times a month, weekly group therapy in quotes over Zoom, because I'm not a licensed therapist, basically group lamenting, group sharing, and you want to only pay $5 a month for it, well, you can go to patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson, where you could sign up, because in the fall, the rate's going up to like 15 bucks. So get in that $5 level while you can.
And I'll probably be on the road a little bit more in the fall or early 2024. But right now I'm staying in New York, babies. And so you can see me at shows around town, obviously, or you can follow my gash/slasher comedy, because I'm in LA a lot this year. And you don't want to miss it, because those shows sell out in like 4 to 7 hours. So the next one's August 23rd, already sold out. But if you're in the neighborhood, you can try and pay cash night of to get a standby ticket. There's usually a couple left. But again, I always say only in the neighborhood. Do not travel far to get those night of tickets. And then if you just want to continue listening to my voice, it's Without a Country podcast that comes out everywhere on Wednesdays. It is produced by the Gas Digital Network. And it's just a different perspective of mainstream traditional news. We look at it from the perspective of the right and the left. We discuss it. We roast it. It's a good time. And it's a quick way to catch up with everything that's going on in the world with someone that you know, you love, and you trust. And we also do some fun interviews, like we interviewed one of Chris D'Elia's victims. We interviewed this guy who's trying to sell this, uh, this new type of math, but it's basically like he's masking religion into it. We have a good time. We have a good time on the show. So make sure to subscribe on YouTube Without a Country Podcast. You can also follow that Instagram and share the reels that I put up summarizing the show every week, usually around Wednesday or Thursday. And of course, also subscribe while you're on YouTube to Guys We Fucked. It's youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. We also have a specific clips channel. If you're more of a short content person, we have the clips channel, which is featured on the main Guys We Fucked channel. And then, of course, we are also on TikTok at Guys We Fucked without the U in fucked, and Instagram, same thing. All right.
Cute. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
So Christina said that at the top of the show, we're going to talk about a little bit about masculinity. Mostly I was inspired to talk about this because, on July 10th, there was an op-ed in the Washington Post called Men Are Lost. Here's a Map Out of the Wilderness by Christine Emba. And, it talks about a lot of concepts that we know about, but I think it's applicable to comedy in many ways, and like why the type of comedy that becomes popular remains popular, cause comedy is certainly still a male skewed, whatever the word is.
Industry.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Field.
That field profession. Industry. Any of these work. And so she talks a little bit about how, a couple of years ago, she noticed that men were just, especially young men, were kind of just acting weird, acting different than normal. And she thought, you know, maybe it was like the incels that were getting her attention. But she realized from all the stuff that was kind of rising to the top, like the Jordan Petersons, the Andrew Tates, that what was really happening was that that women, and we've talked about this concept before, women were continuing to thrive and to progress and to take on some more masculine roles, but men like didn't really know or don't really know where they stand anymore. And they don't understand or they don't have a clear concept of what masculinity is, right? So as women don't need men more and more to rely on financially, to provide for them, to protect them. We are not living out in the wilderness anymore. It seems that, you know, upon her estimation, she was saying, like, it seems like the problem is men don't know how to be men, but she didn't mean it in like a demeaning way. She truly was like, they don't know what their place in society is anymore. Mm. And so they're acting out and they're really looking for guidance because they're not finding it anywhere else. Maybe they're not finding it in the home. They're not finding it within themselves. And so they are gravitating towards these people like Jordan Peterson or Andrew Tate, who are just kind of simply being these father figures, telling them how to live, telling them how to get their shit together and be a man and get their life together. Because while I do think it is extremely important for men to get in touch with their feminine side and their emotions, perhaps these younger generations, we have gone too far in one direction, yeah, where they kind of don't even know how to handle themselves, stand up for themselves. You know, because when I think about protecting and providing, obviously, those like go under the masculine comment column, but they are also things that I feel like I can do for myself and could do for other people. Yeah.
Well, every person on this planet, whether you're trans, cisgender, whatever, you have a masculine side and you have a feminine side. So I think that like leaning into like the very unique levels of how much you want to be masculine, how much you want to be feminine, and what times, what situations with what people is completely up to you. And when I was reading this article, I thought about like, I love being a woman, but my definition of being a woman is not everybody's definition of being a woman.
Sure.
Like the way that I dance with my sexuality and my sex appeal and my softness and my, like, all, there's so many parts of a woman that like, but I only take like five of them that I like, and that's how I define being a woman. So it's like, I think women are already used to like, there's obviously society's expectation of what a woman should be. But we've kind of like realized that was fucked up a long time ago and have been like kind of low key working on like what we want,
right?
The woman I want to be is. And I think that now it's men's chance or turn or responsibility. You can't get out of it now, of defining what a man is to you as an individual.
Right. And that's kind of like what she's talking about in this article. Like so many of the examples of masculinity that are provided online are kind of these like
culture-y.
Yeah. And then she talks about actually going to see Jordan Peterson speak, which I have also did years ago. And she's like, yeah, there's nothing really special about him. He's not really telling you anything that is like groundbreaking, like in his, you know, 12 steps, whatever the hell, book that was so popular. He's saying things like, you know, make your bed, stand up straight, but it's these very simple concepts that for some reason or another, like skip this generation of men. Mm. And they see that and they feel like, and you see it like the way men, male fans gravitate towards, and I see it mostly in comedy, as I'm sure you do, because that's the world that we're in. But the way even the, you know, Legion of Skanks is a great example. Like the reason why that works is because they have created a community where the men like can feel like whatever type of men they want to feel like. And a lot of times, like, sure, that's like calling other women sluts or whatever, but it's more like, it's like more than the calling the women sluts. It's the like sense of community. And I really believe that. And that's it's hard to kind of digest or explain to other people.
Yeah.
But I see why it works.
Yeah. And they're leaning into the more animalistic nature of a man,
right,
than other men would lean into.
Yeah. Cause she even says in this article, last summer, we remember this article last summer, a Psychology Today article caused a stir online by pointing out that dating opportunities for heterosexual men are diminishing as relationship standards rise, no longer dependent on marriage as a means means to financial security or even motherhood. A growing number of women are choosing to create families by themselves with the help of reproductive technology. Women are increasingly selective, leading to a rise in lonely, single young men, more of whom now live with their parents than a romantic partner.
Damn.
Men also account for almost 3 of every 4 deaths of despair, either from a suicide, alcohol abuse, or an overdose.
Fuck.
And in, you know, over the past 50 years, it talks about all the strides that women have made in the workplace as far as getting degrees.
A lot of improvements we've had.
And men just aren't hitting those numbers. Like, they're not doing it.
And I do think, like, when the Me Too movement resurfaced, I feel like a lot of men felt attacked, which I'm like, that's so unfortunate, because that's not at all what we're saying. Maybe a handful of people are kind of leaning towards that message, but like, that's not. And I feel like the men just feel like left out of everything. And then if you think about like the average man, how many friends does the average man have? Not a ton. How many deep conversations is the average man having with his male friends about sexuality, about dating, about finding who you are, about your morals and values, and how have they evolved, if at all? Like, these are not the types of conversations that I hear a lot of men talk about. My personal circle, I think I have a lot of male friends, but they're all very introspective and very in touch with themselves, because that's kind of like my criteria. I don't want to be friends with you if you're not like that, male or female. But like, there's so often we hear of men just kind of shutting off to the world. So it makes a lot of sense that they're drinking themselves to death or killing themselves, because that's awful and sad. And it doesn't make you weak to feel those things.
Yeah. And then kind of she points out like one of the reasons that she believes, or that she saw firsthand, why people were gravitating, especially a couple of years ago, so much towards Jordan Peterson, is because not only is he giving them like a playbook of how to be a man, but he's also showing them empathy, which in today's climate is not often shown to men, because, you know,
that straight white man, like, yeah, you know, and you're the devil.
I get sick of that too, but it's also like, you must understand, if you are a straight man listening, that like, part of the reason why your feelings are dismissed now is because for centuries our feelings and needs were rejected. Yeah. And I understand that
rejecting the rejector is not the way to get to where we want.
For sure. And I totally get that, like, maybe it wasn't even like you specifically or your generation who was doing it, but the same as, you know, often people who look a certain way will be held accountable for other people who look a different sort of way and how they were treated. Like, and that could be applied to so many different types of thing in society. And it's just kind of like the hand that you're dealt during the generation that you grew up with.
Yeah.
And she kind of writes, this is especially compelling in a moment when many young men feel their difficulties are often dismissed out of hand as whining from a patriarchy they don't feel part of. For young men in particular, the assumption of a world built to serve their sex doesn't align with their lived experience, where girls outachieve them from pre-K to postgraduate studies, and quote, men are trash is an acceptable joke.
Right.
Not on Instagram. You will get flagged on Instagram.
Nice. Mark Zuckerberg, that's already hearing it.
Then there's the point by point advice. If young men are looking for direction, these influencers give them a clear script to follow. And that's the thing. Like, sometimes you just need like, wake up in the morning. Yeah. Wake up in the morning, read this book,
like P. Diddy.
Follow this person, you know?
Yeah.
And like she said,
that's
like,
why religion was so hot.
Yeah.
Back in the olden days and currently, but it's just not as popular anymore. It's because give me something to believe in, when really you just believe in yourself.
Well, I think I would argue that religion actually is still extremely popular, but it's just not modern religions. It's more like woo-woo religions, which is still
religion. That's true.
It's religion. Tarot, that's all religion. It's all the same stuff.
Religious as fuck in
just,
that case.
It was just replaced with that stuff where it's not like a specific God, because religion is so associated with so many things that are not acceptable, especially to like left-leaning people, as far as like anti-LGBTQ, anti-choice rhetoric. So I just thought this was like a very...
This article's missing a lot. The article's missing a lot of reasons that I think men also feel...
That wasn't the whole article. This is like, it's a 43-minute read, Michael.
No, of course. But I think that there's like, I think I've even said this before on this podcast, like, we are one of the first generations where military service isn't something that is like a mandatory thing.
I think that was actually brought up in this article.
Well, all right, then we missed it in sort of like the recap, I guess. But I think that's a huge part of it. Yeah. Like, oh, my bad. Well,
no, keep going.
I think that that's a huge part of this. I think that like my grandfather's generation, like on my dad's side, he fought in World War II. And then when he came home, there was an obvious purpose for him. He had he had the GI Bill. He had money. He had
PTSD.
Probably. Yeah. Which is not good. But I mean, and then a lot of men didn't come home. Obviously he got killed, and it's easier to like find a job. At that point, there was still a lot of manual labor to be done. That's something that's decreasing.
The article talks about like the decrease in manual labor has contributed to this feeling.
If you don't have to run a farm and you're like, you know, doing all the shit also, that men would have had to do at the turn of the century, build a railroad, you know?
But I guess maybe we're at a point where I love leaning into my feminine side and my womanly, the parts about being a woman that I gravitate towards most. I really enjoy playing with which one do I want to lean into? Like, do I want to go out and be really fucking slutty and turn every head that I walk by? Okay, then I'm going to do this. Do I want to be kind of invisible? That's easy. I know how to do that. You know, and just kind of like playing with that. How do I feel as a woman in the world? But my main way that I identify myself is not by my gender. So I wonder if that's also fucking us up. Woman is lower on the list of things that I feel I am the most.
Mm.
Like it's like sixth place, to be honest.
So what are the other ones?
Comedian, friend.
Man is listing friend above man.
But also just sure. When I think of myself, I guess I worded that wrong. Like when I think of myself, a woman is not high on the list. I just think of like my personality traits and like who I am and my endless well of curiosity. Like that's so much more defining to myself than woman.
Sure.
You know, so I also wonder if there's some deeper digging that should be done with men so you can kind of go beyond your gender. And obviously feeling like you have a place in the world is so important to every single human being on this planet. We want to feel like we belong. But, you know, maybe your gender is not where you're going to find that.
Right. I mean, that's interesting because I was like, woman is definitely at the top of the list for me. Like, it's like, I would say like woman and stand and like comedian are like the comedian, two things that pivot because it's like, you know, such a specific industry that we're in. But for me, it's like, it doesn't narrow the possibilities of what I can be like. To me, like woman is so powerful, so all encompassing that to me, it's just like, if anything makes the choices that I have to make or the things that I can achieve or the things that I can do, that much wider. And she also kind of brings up that like, women are still being given a lot of tools to help them overcome the disadvantages because we're still considered a minority, like as far as like which if there's two sexes, which is the minority. I know there's, you know, a zillion. Men are just kind of expected to shape up by themselves,
which is hard with no
help. And she even makes this point that Barack Obama during his presidency tried to announce that he was doing this thing called the My Brother's Keeper Initiative, which was a $200 million program meant to improve the lives of at-risk boys and men of color. The pushback came immediately. More than 1,000 women, that's not a lot of women though. Signed an open letter criticizing the program for not including girls. Recently, when news circulated in 2022 that President Biden's $1.2 trillion infrastructure act would likely create thousands of jobs for working class men. There was an MSNBC pundit, Joy Reid, who dismissively called it a white guy employment act, right? But it's like the employment issue as far as like the workplace, like men are still stomping us in like the top jobs. But as far CEOs. As entering those, all the other jobs, women are making far more strides than men are.
Yeah.
So
very interesting. And there was a conversation I had at your party, Corinne, when I was there with one of your guests who we both know, but he was telling me that when he experienced his partner have a baby, he immediately understood guys go through midlife crises. And I'm like, that's very interesting. I've never heard that take. Tell me more. And he was like, I knew when I saw our child come out of my wife's body that I will never do anything that great for as long as I live. And I'm like, That to me was like, oh, that's very interesting. Like, and I was like, I didn't know a lot of men felt like that. And he's like, yeah, I've talked to some like new dads about it. And they did they kind of shared similar sentiments. I'm like, wow, that's so fascinating. That like you wouldn't immediately go towards, I'm going to be such a beautiful father. Like what mm-hmm. a great contribution to the world to be a good father. That is more valuable than you could ever know. Like, and just like a great mother is such a valuable
right.
thing to contribute to society. You're putting out a well-adjusted kid. What? Thank you. Mm. Thank you for your service.
Right. But so, I mean, it almost feels like he was like in a way emasculated by his fucking the birth so of funny. His own child, which is
fucked up, man.
Which is so masculine. And it's like, I mean, I think you could give men in many ways the same notes that you could give younger generations or comedy audiences. It's like my experience and what I'm talking about really is not, it doesn't change you, diminish what you're doing, take away from what you're doing. Like we're both doing different things that hopefully in the end will work in conjunction in society.
Yeah.
But like me doing something doesn't take that, especially something that you can't do, doesn't take away from the contributions that you're making
right.
to the world.
Yeah.
And I overheard that a little bit. And I understood what he's saying. And that is a person who has done a lot of work on himself, has right. gone to therapy,
that's
has
why I was
been
like, huh.
through a lot in his life, even though he is white, he's been through, he's not had a great life. And he's really like, the life that he has now, up. he is and should be so proud of. Mm. Yeah, there was also a part of me that it made me sad because it's just like, oh, like it's still men seeing our greatest achievement, no matter what we do, is creating another
baby
life.
Out.
Yeah, another life. And it's like,
I
love that men see mothers as so powerful, but I wish that they could see
how powerful they
us
are.
Succeeding in other ways as equally powerful and equally valuable to society, because I think that's still where their vision of us is falling short, right? Mm-hmm. So I do think that they now see us as like beyond sexual beings, but it's only a little, it's only like, okay, but mothers, and then definitely a mother maybe doing something else is cool, but as a woman who is powerful and has made her own space in the world, who is not a mother,
where's she
not as respected,
right?
Yeah,
right.
It's hard because like I don't know, I mean I think many women still believe that creating another life is the most powerful incredible thing that you could do. I would argue that creating creating a human life is not at all impressive.
No.
I think raising a person in the world who is an upstanding citizen is an incredible achievement, and one that
yes.
few are achieving,
and that take a lot
one that
of work.
Are achieving.
Yes, and I'm like, that's how what we should take pride in as people that pump kids out. Like, if you're going to have a kid, if you're going to adopt a kid, whatever.
Talk to me when you're 60,
exactly.
and then we'll see whether or not you were a great
and
mother.
And then you could say like, you the work you did to raise that child, that
right.
ain't no fucking joke.
Oh,
and
it's no joke.
If you put a good person out of the world, God bless you.
Yeah,
you
know that is like, probably the hardest thing that you can do.
And giving birth, like, you know, a woman who's pregnant doesn't sit there and go, and now I'm going to make the heart of my child. Ooh, and now the two eyeballs. We're not doing anything. Whatever force
right.
is behind a fetus developing into a baby kind of has nothing to do with us. So it's like, yeah, we did this thing that hurts. But yeah.
I also doubt that like if you took a survey of mothers that if they said like, what was the hardest part of raising a child?
It's not the birth.
I think very few people would say the actual physical birth, even though that is 100% bodily trauma.
For sure. But like you forget about it immediately because of the hormones. And the only like the times that like I've ever heard a woman still talk about like a birth experience was when like she almost fucking died
right.
or when her baby almost died. Cause now you're emotionally traumatized in addition to being like physically traumatized.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. But also too, at the end of the day, every person listening to this podcast, regardless of your gender, regardless of your race, you are an extremely powerful creature. And I just want everybody to like realize their own individual power. Cause that would be so sick. That's the world I want to live in, baby.
Yeah. I think it would be like, but it's also like when I think about like I'm now thinking a little bit about like what tools that I feel like I have been given as a woman to help me to learn how to be a woman. Like, what are we talking about? Home economics class? Like what? There was no, I mean, basically like the best example that you're going to get is your parents, you know, when you talk about like that, like it, as far as like what it, but again, like my parents had very swapped or in many ways swapped gender roles. So it's not like I was learning how to necessarily like be a, and also that's, I guess why my view of what it means to be a woman is probably very different.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like I, that's what one of the many reasons why I'm Beyonce is my idol, because the type of woman she is,
right,
it is so incredibly attractive to me in every way. And that's something that I like, she has qualities that as a performer, as a person, whatever, but as a woman, her feminine qualities are very, it's such a turn on to me. And it's like something I hope to emulate in my own way. So it's like, yeah, we really do take whatever resonates with us about femininity.
And I think it, like, and they, she talks about this in the article as well. And it goes on, on and on. It's very long. You guys should read it, but, it's, she talks a lot about how, for so long, like men, as we know, were dependent on women for to be like, you know, their emotional support animals, for lack of a better word. You know, and I think about that a lot, and like how often when I observe people achieving great things in society, behind every great man, there is a great woman. Mm-hmm. And then behind every great woman is just herself.
Is her dog, maybe?
Yeah, an animal.
Yeah.
A parent, maybe.
Tamagotchi.
A mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yes, I feel empathy for men, or sympathy even, that there are less, you know, tools offered. But then I reflect on my own life and I go, well, what were the tools that I had? Again, besides the parents, there was not any like outside tools to that. If anything, in all the careers and things that I've pursued in my life, it was extremely male dominated fields. So I was working against the flow.
And it sucks to feel lost in the world. That's a really sad feeling, but it leads to really great things. That feeling of feeling lost in the world, when you feel that, consider yourself lucky, because what that's doing is that's an arrow. It's pointing to who the fuck knows, but you know, wherever you go, there you are. So get to know you.
Right. Yeah. So again, we'll be discussing that more and more over the coming months. I think the concept of masculinity, et cetera.
Yes. And guys, we're very excited to welcome our guest for this episode. She is a rapper, comedian, and actress from New York City. You may have seen her on hit television shows like Wild Now on MTV or A League of Their Own. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show,
Lil Frex.
Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world, in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
Guys, we are here with comedian Forex. Happy to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad your name's not Shovel. You really dodged a bullet there.
Orange, banana.
Imagine number one name in America, Shovel. We're not far.
Or like Cheval.
I like that.
Cheval's a beautiful name.
Yeah, but you spell it Shovel.
And then like the last name, O'Reilly. Cheval O'Reilly.
Ooh.
That's vibey.
I like that.
That is vibey.
We're not far from this type of life.
No. I mean, we can make up whatever, you know? We can just make up our own rules in terms of like names or traditions or anything we want to do, really.
I think it's fun when you have a unique name, but not so when you say it out loud, people can recognize that it's a name, not an item. I think
that's helpful.
That's what I want in a name.
That's such a brilliant way to put it.
Yeah, like
that's
like
a sandwich.
I get frustrated because people are really challenged by my name, and I go, but you've heard it. Like it's a name. Like you know that it's a name. You know it's not like something that you are going to find in a grocery store. Michael,
God,
you're going to get fired
you,
today,
Michael.
It's allergy season.
We talk about.
I have allergies too, and I am controlling them.
We talk about this all the time. The only producer in America who makes noise.
Yo, he makes so many sounds.
He was slapping his bare leg.
He drops baseballs.
I make lots of noise and I have lots of hits.
We said, Mikey, we're actually compiling a file
over
on the B-Pod.
My favorite is when he goes into the mic as he's not even participating in a conversation.
Okay,
and
I'll tell you.
Texture.
We don't need texture. This is not fucking Food Network.
We got it, buddy.
Listen to this. My first episode, we're recording it. He goes, guys, I gotta be honest. We gotta stop and start over. This is terrible.
The balls.
He was right though. He was right, but it was just so unnerving.
The delivery was.
It was so unnerving.
That's
but he
New
was
Jersey.
Right.
Yeah, I would say something like that because I go, that doesn't sound that bad. It's better to know before you leave the studio.
100%. Mike was right. It's a good producer who can be honest.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And very rude. Unbelievably rude.
So rude and so noisy. Yeah. So noisy. But no, a big cock. So,
that's right.
You take the good with the bad.
He'll just be like tapping his foot, and I go, yeah, we can all hear that. Even if the mics aren't picking it up, it's wildly distracting.
Here, through my headphones on the other side.
We talked about this the last time you were in. How I literally
so many sounds.
There's so much anxiety.
Slappy dappy
pulsing.
Over there.
Yeah.
I go, can I get you a beta blocker? I mean, what can we do about this?
Some meditation classes.
I want you to
classes.
Feel okay. I want you to
some
be okay,
courses.
My man.
You got to ground your body, baby boy.
Yeah. I'm trying.
So you mentioned to us before we started recording that you've been smoking since you were a kid.
Yeah.
Since how young? 14?
14. Started
Damn.
Smoking ciggies.
What happened? What happened though?
You know, trouble at home.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hanging
what kind
out
of trouble
mall
are we talking?
Much.
What kind of, what flavor of
let's
trouble?
Go, all right, let's go right into it.
Yeah,
so
happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. My dad had an affair with my best friend's mom.
Oh, juicy.
And moved across the street.
And
my mom never recovered.
I don't know that I'm gonna recover after hearing that.
Then they moved into a house in the same town, and then the other parent passed away in the middle of this.
Oh, wait, which parent?
Like
her best friend's dad?
Yeah.
Oh,
passed away like right in the middle of this. And so there was
from
just
a broken heart.
It was just
he just got owned. Just, yeah. I think I death by owning.
He's like, you know, let's start over and do another life.
Yeah,
fuck.
And so,
How were you told this information? And honestly, I'm surprised that cigarettes were the worst thing that came out of it. That's amazing.
Oh, it wasn't,
good for you.
But that's the only one that's lasted.
Oh, okay, I see.
That's like my oldest.
At a
hope.
Pizza Hut?
Yeah,
so
Pizza Hut.
So both parents, who?
I was the last to know. So now this is like something that goes throughout my relationships now. Am I going to be the last to know?
Don't let me be the last.
Is there a reality going on and I think things are one way and they're a different way?
Yo, you got tricked.
This is why I really struggle also with like, and this is like a lame thing, but like I hate talking shit about people.
Uh-huh.
Because I hate making people feel like things are one way.
Uh-huh.
And then really they're another way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. You don't want
to
do
it to
them.
Like if I'm nice to your face.
Yeah.
you think things are one way.
Yeah.
We're friends.
Right. Yeah.
And then I go just dog you out. Yeah, anytime yeah, I do yeah. that.
Well, that sucks.
Like,
yeah.
No, but like it's all related to that feeling of like, I don't like that feeling. So, nobody does.
So for a long yeah. time, there were no suspicions on your part of like.
No, there something... were. There was a Bryan Adams concert where some red flags.
Yo, Bryan Adams
concert.
The night
Princess Diana died at Yo, Jones Beach. There chaotic. Were some red flags.
I remember that night.
There were some red flags.
Okay. Yeah. So remember, what was the yeah. red flag? What were the red flags?
Well, the red flag was that my mom wasn't invited, but then randomly she was there. The other, my friend's
maybe
mom,
she suspect. Oh, okay.
Was
okay.
there, and I said to my mom, like, I saw. Oh, shouldn't say the name. That's okay.
Bleep it up.
We'll bleep it. Yeah.
She was there, and my mom goes, "Really?" And it was not something that was known.
Okay. Was she there? Was she there with your dad?
Kind of.
Okay.
But this is years before things came out into okay, the light.
So did your cooking. Mom have like suspicions, it seems?
I think she's traumatized in her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did your best so this happy. Is your best friend's
yeah.
mom.
And he's we're still great friends.
Okay. Did he have any inkling of something going on?
He was really into sports.
So, no.
so he didn't have to deal with
he
this.
He was fine. He was playing hockey.
You know what I mean? Like he didn't have like I did cigarettes, but he was doing sports. So oh. he had an outlet.
Yeah. And so they sat you down at a Pizza Hut? Who sat you down?
My dad said, I'm moving out. It was just me and my dad.
Oh.
And I was the last to know. And he said, I'm moving out and I'm moving me and naming it. Me and her are moving in together.
Uh-huh. Wow. So you got two. We're getting a divorce. Yeah. Your parents are getting divorced. And I've already started something up with
yeah.
your best friend's mother.
Right.
And then, did it ruin Pizza Hut for you?
Did I still go? Yeah, I still went.
Yeah.
And did I still enjoy the breadsticks? Of course. But there's always a little something that comes up.
Parents shouldn't bring their children to restaurants to give them bad news. My mom brought me to an IHOP and then told me that she was separating from my dad.
Oh, maybe that's why yeah. IHOP gives you a stomach ache. Maybe it's not.
Probably.
Maybe
it's emotional.
Maybe it's not. Yeah.
So emotional.
Yeah. So emotional. And I didn't see it coming, but you kind of felt
yeah,
some
I knew that something was wrong.
Mm.
So I just was unhappy at home.
Across the street?
So the first, my dad moved across the street, and then they moved to another house. They bought a house in the same town.
So he just took all his stuff from your house.
So here's
and walked across the street to her house.
It was a third house across the street next wow. to her house. It was Oof. Apartments, so it's okay. a little more fluid in yeah. an apartment type of situation. You know, apartments still. They come and go. You rent them, you don't.
Did you see him you know. Walking out with her? After
yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I remember. Well, so now he took their bed.
Yeah, I guess she wouldn't want that anymore.
My mom slept on the floor.
Oh.
And then he had the bed over there.
Why did
and
they so need now to? I'm very, she didn't, like, didn't your neighbor already have a bed, though? Like, why did?
No, this was for the, so it was like our apartment, her apartment, the third apartment where he briefly lived there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. A
and
third
then
apartment.
They moved into.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Weird.
Was
oh
weird.
My God. And torturous.
It was torture.
That seems like war torture for
it was
your mother.
Torture.
Oh my God. And
it was
you,
torture
like,
for the kids too.
Jesus.
And then they made us go to this house. We hated having to go like in this house.
Wow.
There was just weird shit going on all the time. Everyone just bugged out. So
these circumstances I just never really understand.
Yeah,
because it's like
it.
Just no one in the world is this great that you have to do this level of destruction to a family to be
yeah.
with them.
I've
there's
tried
no
to, yeah.
I've never met I've been around for 37 years, never met anyone even close to that great.
I've tried to explain like as an adult where like the anger comes from.
Sure.
Because he's like, me and your mom, we weren't working. And I go, I know.
Yeah.
You absolutely should have gotten divorced.
Right.
You were not right for each other.
Right.
100%.
Yep.
It's not that.
Yep.
It's that we were begging you
mm-hmm.
not to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so important
mm-hmm.
that you're so special.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Begging you not to do what? To have
To just make this life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make, force us into this life where we're blending as a family. And we were all friends.
God, force blend. Oh, man.
Like,
we
have brothers who are the same age. And our moms were friends. Wow.
So he's still with this woman?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's something. That's worth something. I gotta say.
That happens a lot, though. That happens yeah. a lot.
But I would imagine if I were that woman, your best friend's mom, who's now your dad's partner, you know, the relationship started off cheating, but I guess sometimes if it's meant to be and you're just meant to be with somebody else, maybe you can maintain it.
Yeah. Clearly. And I think, I forget what it's called, but when you invest so much in something, you're not going to
give up right away.
Yeah. You're going to make it work.
I was thinking it was more that than that they were actually meant to be together. It was more like, we're going to be embarrassed if at this point we break up because we tore apart two families.
Yeah.
And it's your dad was getting into another love and probably in that exciting period as your mom's heart was just utterly shattered.
Yeah. And this was like right puberty time for me. So it was a lot of like anger.
Yeah.
It's just the sexuality mixes with the anger.
Yeah.
Like when you know what I mean? When you come into.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. But I wanted to say it's not all negative because I do really like, we do have some great fun times now. Like we have a great family.
Oh, nice.
Like we make it work.
Do you hang out with your stepmom?
Yeah. We hang out all the time.
Oh, she's cool.
I mean,
was she ever like, sorry?
No. They would. They're like catchphrase. They came up with a catchphrase. It would be like, we're not going to apologize.
Oh, that's their catchphrase. Nice. Yes. Nice.
That's fucking, and that's cold as ice.
I know, it's ice cold. But I think, you know, you learn to, I really wanted a family, so I was going to fight to have a family.
Yeah.
So that's my family and I love them.
Did you have to watch your mom fall apart?
Unfortunately, yes.
That sucks, man. What was the ways that she expressed her feelings?
I don't think there was a day without tears for 20 years.
Oh.
Wow.
Hold on, full circle. She's with a great guy now.
Yay.
That she met. They met late in life.
Okay.
And they have, they're so good for each other. They're so good to each other. They do fun things. They travel. They go to Knicks games. They like.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's awesome.
Okay, good.
They just got married like a year ago.
Oh, thank God.
But between a year ago and like, whatever, 20 years ago.
Terrible.
Not great.
Oh, she needed
no
that.
No money, like living with roommates, you know?
Oh my God.
Not good.
Oh, wow. It did get better.
Yeah.
It got better for her.
It's
thank
beautiful.
God. Mm. Oh my God.
But you can, all right. So now that I've upset everybody.
No, I mean, it's,
I need we a don't cigarette. All come from,
yeah, right. I know. I hear you. So you were smoking at 14. How are you getting them? Just asking your older brother.
Deli and things on Central Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Madaba Deli and Fleetwood.
Yeah. They don't card. They don't card.
Yeah. There's two spots, Madaba Deli and Fleetwood.
Oh,
and
nice.
Deli and things on Central.
Shout out. Wow.
How did seeing that, the way your parents handled their romantic relationships, plural, affect your romantic relationships and interactions with partners?
It's a lot of fear. Like, because my mom would tell me, like, you know, I married your father and it ruined my life.
Sweet.
So I'm in a position where I'm close to getting married now.
Mm.
And do you know how many times I've said, take the ring back?
Right.
Oh, wait, so you're engaged but not?
No, I'm not engaged because I said, I just need more, I just started therapy.
So you said take the ring. So you were proposed to, but you said take the ring back?
I knew that we picked our rings.
Oh, okay,
I said,
together.
Don't buy it. Don't
bring
it.
Don't give it to me yet.
Yeah, I got to work some shit out.
Because it is like a real fear. Like if you make a mistake, it'll ruin your life.
Right.
And it's not that serious. You could actually get divorced.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a pretty good sense of who I am. Like I'm pretty confident in some ways. Like, mm-hmm.
And also it's unfair. I mean, like, you know, I understand what your mom means when she said, I married your dad and it ruined my life. But like she has pull in the situation.
That's what I try to remember. Like I can make different choices.
Right.
Like I don't have to put my daughter in the van and go throw the shit on the dad's lawn.
Oh.
That is hilarious.
I could do it
though.
If I want to, but I don't have to.
Right. Right. It's an option that you can choose not to take.
Right.
Incredible.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Right. And then it's a bummer that he then had emotional control over her for like 20 years after, even though that they were separated. That's a bummer.
It sucks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you do see, yeah, it is a risk, but
love is a risk. Loving somebody is a risk.
It is a risk.
And that happened to you at such a pinnacle age for you. Those like childhood trauma and shit, like those grooves get carved, right? But like when you're coming of age and trying to like figure yourself out and then you're just blindsided, like I imagine that situation took the spotlight over anything else that was going on in any of your
lives.
There
was nothing else going on.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
Except for me and my ciggies. Yeah. Down by the train tracks.
Glad you had those. So emo.
Isn't it? Down by the 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
Down my 7-Eleven parking lot, just.
You have siblings? You have an older brother?
A brother.
Just that?
And two, and then two stepbrothers.
Two stepbrothers. Mm-hmm. Oh, from
the blended family.
Yeah, you know.
Your older brother took it well?
No.
Well, I don't know how you took that
responded,
well.
He just got really into drumming.
That's
so all
a really
he does is
outlet.
Drum. He's still a drummer.
Yeah. You get a lot
a
of
a successful
around.
Drummer or?
Works all the time.
A working drummer. That's awesome.
Makes his money through.
But, you know, how you doing? Good. Everything okay?
Oh, he's like not. He can't.
He's not here.
Through
he's
words.
Not here. But on a tom-tom, he'll tell you everything.
He'll tell you what you need to know about him.
But you get him. You get that man on a tom-tom.
Get him a high
You're
hat.
Gonna get the whole story.
Whoa. Did you have trouble getting to know yourself as you got older?
Totally. I was not in my body until I was maybe 26 years old.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Truly, I was not even disassociating. Present. I was not even present. I was unfortunately also like I got into drugs as well. Uh-huh.
What kinds?
Coke, pills,
yeah,
booze,
yeah. That'll make you exit your body for a minute.
Yeah, so I was doing that for a good like decade.
And you are just now going to therapy?
No, I've been gone.
Oh, okay, cool.
I didn't get to it yet.
Yeah.
I had other things to talk about.
Yeah.
But right. Now I can. That's the first time I'm going to therapy with a specific thing. Like this thing is happening, and these things that have happened in the past are causing me this feeling, and I want to work on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've gone to general. Like I don't fucking know. Lady,
yeah,
I'm not feeling great.
Well, right, fix me if right, you right, can, right.
Dog. Yeah,
but and have you had any revelations in these previous therapies? Do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I had my therapist was like a witch. She was fucking awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Like an actual like a Wiccan.
Yeah, but no. But oh, like
witchy.
She's just a witchy.
Up my alley. Okay.
Yeah, she was awesome. She probably saved my life.
Oh.
Yeah, she definitely taught me how to love myself. Like, but she loved me, which is not appropriate.
Oh,
I guess
really? Like your therapist liked you too much.
No. I think like that's her style of therapy, which some people go, I've never known.
I've never had a relationship like this before.
And I go, I love her. And uh-huh. She taught me how to love myself just because I'm like, she'll always be there for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She held you in unconditionally high regard.
Yeah. Like the bitch never touched me, but she held me emotionally.
Right. She touched your heart.
Which is the first time that I ever felt like safe.
Yeah. I hear that. Yeah. I worked with a trauma therapist and she like tried to cultivate like a vibe with us. Similarly, but I kind of didn't like her that much, so I moved on to another woman, Anne Marie, and she we have like a mother daughter semblance
Same.
Of a relationship that I'm like, oh. But sometimes when you feel like when she first was acting that way towards you, your therapist, where you like, yeah, get away, like you're
well, first
you don't
I go
like
one day I came in, I was like, is this a fucking cult? Tell me right now, bitch.
Mm.
Okay,
and she was like, dude, no.
That's what someone in a cult would say, though.
Are you actually calling each other bitch and dude? Or is
I
this...
would call her bitch, yeah.
Okay.
I'd be like, what's up, bitch? Love you.
Oh, okay. But in like a positive
But she didn't
way.
Say dude. No, she'd be like, sweetie.
Right.
It's okay. All good, bitch.
How old, like much older than you was she?
50s into 60s. I went to her for like 8 years.
Nice.
Okay, that's interesting.
Oh, so you had like a really long-lasting relationship.
And
with
then
her.
I just, she was the one I called when I was having my engagement ring meltdown.
Hmm.
And she said, I'm going to send you someone. She goes, I'm going to gift you a little breath coach session.
Ooh.
So I went to that. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, enough.
That's bad news if your engagement like gift is breath work.
I know. Well, that's why, yeah, I'm like, I still want a real engagement gift when it happens.
Right. Just to clarify.
Just to clarify, this is a...
Bitch.
Yeah. Hey, bitch. Anyway, so I just started again like with a specific purpose, which I had never done before.
Yeah. Instead of generalized, like, I don't want to fucking be here. It's more totally. Like, there's a thing that's happening. That's yeah. good. When do you think you'll... So when you think you're ready... Are you going to go to your boyfriend? You can propose to me now?
Or I'll propose to him.
Ooh, I love that. Turn the tables.
I'm so curious to know what you're...
I also don't think I want a rock.
Oh, yeah.
I just decided. I think I want a diamond engagement, like, wedding ring.
That's a rock.
Yeah, instead of, like, an engagement ring. I'm just... It doesn't matter.
But the engagement ring is the rock, and then usually it's a band that is a set.
I know what it usually is.
So then you just don't want the band, the additional band? So then what would you get at the wedding?
You're confusing me.
It's a two-piece set.
I know. I only want one piece.
Oh, so you just want one ring.
Yeah. One rock, one diamond.
But then what do you do at the wedding?
I get that ring. I don't get an engagement ring.
Oh, so you just, okay. It's just a verbal
Yeah, this agreement. Is also not even important for me to think about. This is like a distraction for me to think about.
I was going to say, it seems like we're really,
we're getting ahead of
focusing
ourselves.
On details then.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
And then also feels like the fact that you only want one on the actual day means you can put it off as long as possible and not feel trapped.
In case I have a meltdown, I'll have it at the wedding when he puts the ring on me in the middle of the ceremony in front of my friends and family.
Like there is something suffocating about wearing a piece of, it always feels like pissing on someone's hand, like to mark your territory.
Yeah.
It feels constricting.
Yeah.
Even just thinking about it in theory.
Also, how much are rings? You said you
went
shopping.
I mean, it was
nice,
but it was his mom's stone.
Okay.
And then we were going to put it in something else.
In a new setting.
That's nice. I like that.
It was really nice.
Some type of.
But then I kept being like, where would I wear this? I'm like very cash.
Where would I wear it? You just have you're just supposed have to put it on yeah. just always.
I know, but it's taking me a long time to learn these lessons.
You're like, where
these
would I wear
are
it?
Hard.
Like it's costume jewelry.
And the lady's going like,
yeah.
And the lady, well, because I'm so cash. I'm like, what? Like when I'm vaping, I have
right.
like a huge rock. Some
jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a fucking diamond ring on.
Okay. I mean, hey, fine.
I don't know, man. Rings, I don't really care about them. And I'm like, that's a lot of money. That's yeah. so much money that you could use towards like a down payment or a fucking vacation that you'll never forget.
Jewelry yeah. is an asset, though. So it's not like
oh,
it's like, it's not like a car where it's like losing value and you take it off the lot.
Well, that one of the comics I was working with this weekend was saying he proposed to his girlfriend and then they broke up. And he was like, thank God. She gave him the ring back. He paid $3,000 for the ring. And then he said he tried to resell it and the value was only $300. I'm like, what the fuck?
He got tricked then yeah. in the initial.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like trickery.
Also, she does not have to give that ring back.
Okay, Mike, coming in strong over there.
I'm just saying. Once you get, that's the thing about getting engaged.
Legally, yeah. you don't have to. Yeah.
Right,
but
I don't think.
But
she
I
wanted
would never.
It.
I think. Yeah, anyone with integrity. Is
yeah,
get
I'm,
it
I
yeah.
would never.
I don't
that.
Want that. That's bad juju.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, and the resale value apparently is not high. I guess depending, if you got tricked when you bought it.
Yeah.
How
but the ring
meet?
Is not the issue. We met at the 7-Eleven in high school.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah, in high school.
But we haven't been together since then.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So
know
he was
each
like
other
a,
for a while.
I was like really into him.
For years.
For years, and we like made out, and he well, okay. So we went to different high schools.
Okay.
Because he went to private school and I went to public school.
Okay.
But he worked at the pool. With some of my
so
friends.
Jersey.
Yeah. Well, I'm from fucking Westchester.
Right.
I know.
It's great.
So he worked at the town pool one summer, like when, the first summer he was back from college.
Ooh.
And then I just met him at the parking lot.
Like,
we'd like cruise down the city or whatever, you know, like make out, whatever, you know, the vibes. But then he was like, no, you're not my girlfriend.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I was like he was like now? In college, you know? And then I ran into him again when I was in college and we like drove out to, what's that place called? North Fork.
Mm-hmm.
But like I saw him at a bar and then we drove out to the North Fork.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. And I was living at the 92nd Street Y and then he drove me home the next morning and Bill Clinton was speaking.
Ooh, whoa. A lot of weird, a lot
yeah,
of
yeah.
pop culture happening during your life events.
I know, I'm like Forrest Gump right now.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm
Forrest Gump.
So how, when,
so then
it was on
we
ran and off.
Yeah, so then when, it was never on. During those off. Periods, it was never on. It was just like, okay, into each other, but like whatever. Then he like moved to Russia for a long time.
Oh.
Moved to Russia. He could be KGB. He won't say where he stands on Putin.
What was he doing in Russia?
Teaching English.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, playing lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Who knows? Who knows what they do over there, to be honest. And then, I saw him like in, at, I was like rapping at a bar in Bushwick. And then we like walked past each other. I was like, oh my God, hey.
Keep running into them. What a love story.
Yeah. Wow. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll see you around. And then we like walked away. And then I kind of stood outside. I was like, I don't think I'm going to leave until I see him again. Because we, like, it was over for the night. It was like,
right.
he literally went there looking for another girl that he had just met at a concert.
Oh.
He like followed her there.
Wow.
Not like in a creepy way, but she was like, meet me there.
Whatever. Yeah.
And then he was like looking for whoever this person was. I was like, I think I'm just going to stay outside.
He got a little gut inkling.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a little feeling.
Yeah.
And then I saw him. And I was like, hey. And that's it.
And then you guys ended up hanging out together. That girl wasn't there.
Yeah. I guess he couldn't find her. So you got a consolation prize.
For 7 years. Hell yeah. Years.
But then we didn't start, like, we were unofficial for a long time. And then we were
up
and down.
Did you hook up that night?
Yeah, he came over. But he was, like, drunk and I wasn't. So I didn't drink during that time.
Did you fuck him?
We did.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, I was like, I don't think I'll do that again.
Yeah. As a woman, like,
gotta be honest.
I mean, and I don't want this, like, when one person's intoxicated, the other one isn't.
Not into it.
Yeah.
Not into
Although
it.
I've been wasted and wanted my sober boyfriend to have sex with me a lot. That's happened a lot. Same.
Was it the first time you had sex or you had sex
that
previously?
That was the first time we had sex.
Wow, that's cool. So that's a build-up, really.
Yeah. But then I was like...
It's not good because he wasn't really there.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, we'll never see him again.
Oh.
And then we just kind of stayed in touch. Months went by. He kept being like, I want to do this, I want to do that, blah, blah, blah. And then we just started, like, I think we went on a date.
Oh, okay.
Like a real date.
At last.
I think so.
That really is like, if it's meant to be, it'll happen.
Yeah.
You know?
And then it wasn't meant to be.
Oh,
wow. It wasn't.
I was going to say, like, do you feel like you like wore him down or like what?
No, I was putting no effort in.
Right.
It didn't seem like you were
chasing
him.
Neither of us were putting any effort in.
Right.
We just kept crossing paths.
Right. Well, because you had really liked him previously, but then you were
kind of
like,
yeah, but in a way, it was like a high school crush.
I wasn't
flame for him.
Yeah. He lost his luster for you over the years.
Yeah. It was next to nothing, except the fact that we just kept.
Okay. Meaning, you're like, what the fuck? You again?
Why'd you say okay like that? That was funny.
No, because now I'm like, okay, well then if neither person has a passion for each other, how does this ignite after all this time?
I guess what I'm saying is that it wasn't like all those years that we would run into each other, we weren't like in contact.
Yeah, of course.
We were just like passing the night. And I like that person.
Yeah, right.
And then just keep it moving. And then he didn't live in the country. I live different places, you know.
Uh-huh. We just forgot about each other.
Yeah, it just wasn't like... Wasn't, you know, like...
It wasn't on your mind. Didn't take up any
writing letters and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
What happened?
I'll never forget, like, I have an image of him in my head, like, leaning in the car window when I was, like, 17. And I was like, I'll marry him.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Yeah. I feel like when a woman knows, she knows.
Not necessarily true. I've thought that a lot of times. Very inaccurate. Yeah.
That's funny.
Very inaccurate.
That you thought you were going to be with somebody that you weren't.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. How was that date? We went to
where did we go? I think we went to Parm.
Oh my God.
And then he goes, we sit down to order. He goes, I just had two slices of pizza next door. I go, what do you mean?
He ate before the date?
Like, he goes, I was starving. I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
He's a meatball. I kind of like that.
Oh, okay. Italian meatball.
Yeah. And it was fun. And then we kind of just like went on dates for a while.
Sometimes two people work together when like their one person's ridiculous, like doesn't bother the other person. Like that could be a huge point for like a bond between two people.
It didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I just go, you're so weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You appreciated it in a way, or you were perplexed.
And then
by it.
We went to a depressing movie. I think we saw the movie The Room. Remember that? It was like Dick Rose.
Oh, with Brie Larson?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Depressing.
Yeah.
That was a bummer.
Yeah. It was really depressing.
Yeah.
And then I don't even think he came over. I think we just went on a date.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you fall in love?
And then we fell in love. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And then how is it? Like, how has your relationship evolved over 7 years?
Well, so then after the love part, we were in...
Because that does go
away. Post-love.
Yeah. I mean, after the first love, I mean, we were in very different places in our life. Like, I didn't drink at all during that time.
Okay.
And he loved to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Big party boy.
Alcoholic
Yeah, he doesn't drink anymore. Let's put it that way.
Got it.
He had to stop.
Did you have a convo about it, or did he?
Oh, it was
come
more than
own...
a convo. I mean, there was a meltdown.
It was a jail. Oh,
yeah. There was a cheating scandal. There was a.
Oh shit.
And then there was kind of and there was kind of like a year of. That's just just that up and down, like blocking. Then we're outside each other's house. Then we're in, then we're on the beach. Then we're saying when we get off the plane, we're never speaking again. Then we're speaking in the,
thrilling.
Then we're fucking again like the next week. Yeah, and then we're saying I'm just, you know, he's in the car outside and then I'm in the car. And then I get off the train at a different stop so that I could just be like, I'm in, you know, and just, we couldn't stay away from each other.
Yeah. Oh, that's so that's interesting.
And that went on for a year.
You experienced cheating in it and it worked out, which is a common thing.
We've talked about this before that sometimes not the worst thing. It kind of can
make you closer in a way.
Yeah.
I've read a lot about that.
If you can get through it.
Yeah. So how do you get through it in your situation?
Well, you definitely, he's, or the person that cheats has to be okay with you going psycho for a while.
I know.
Like, and they have to like really just take it on the chin. I hate to say it.
I like, totally agree because
like,
you
I'm
have
taking
that
the watch I gave him and I'm smashing it against the fucking, you know, wall and I'm going, fuck you. And you, he just has to be like, I'm so sorry. Like,
right. Wow. And if he does remain in that sorry state as you're freaking out, you're like, oh, there's some potential here. Could you walk us through how you found out and then what perspired after that?
I gotta be honest. I don't know if I should.
Okay. Why? Because
you'll get mad again?
It's because it's just such a dead, there was some drama with the person and I just don't want to
bring
it up.
Oh, I see. You don't want to rehash it up. Okay.
I just, it's just so old that.
Right. Yeah.
For her sake.
Okay. Right. You don't want her to.
This is my growth.
Yeah, for sure.
It's compassionate.
That's really big.
I understand everybody.
Uh-huh.
Position in this.
Right.
That's really
whereas
nice.
I could only understand my own pain.
Yep. That's what cheating does. Time. That's why it's very heightened emotional thing to happen to somebody.
But now like I get it. And I don't think it's the worst thing. I think the sex is great.
Post-cheating sex is better than pre-cheating sex?
Could be. It's very heightened.
Ooh.
It's very like life and death.
So at what point in the relationship
did you guys
did
watch
the
White Lotus?
No.
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I know it's all the rave.
Well, yeah. I think that they did a really good job with that particular subject.
Yeah. I read Esther Perel's book, State of Affairs.
I love that bitch.
And that,
you know,
I love
you
her
know
too.
That bitch, you know when that bitch says you're going to have three or four relationships in your life and sometimes you'll have them with the same person?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's how I feel about
went
us.
Through another, yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. I'm the person I'm with now, we've had several iterations of our relationship and a lot of them were very toxic and then now it's like super healthy. And you're like,
I know. Isn't that funny?
How that happened?
And sometimes you go, I'll take a little toxic.
I hear you. I hear you.
I'm a little toxic right
well,
now.
Well, it's too, if you get like nerdy about it, your nervous system is used to like these heightened dramatic situations. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those calm waters, you're like, what the fuck is this?
You just go, really? So we're just going to sit here and eat dinner together for the rest of our fucking lives?
Yeah. And watch our TV shows and
really?
Just kiss each other?
Really?
The fuck is that bullshit?
That's the proposition.
Oh.
We sit here and smile at each other nicely for the rest of our lives.
Snooze fast. No one wants it.
But then I
it.
Go, but that was my greatest like want in the world.
What?
To
was
eat
like
dinner?
A home.
Oh.
Like a, just like a
like
love.
A family, like a stable family.
Yeah.
Stable
like
love.
A love, a babe. Yeah.
Okay. So you
a
got it.
A container.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you bounce off the walls of the container.
Right.
Could I ask you more about how you freaked the fuck out?
Oh yeah, sure.
Well, and also just at what point in the 7-year relationship did this occur? Just a time frame.
So this was like maybe 8 months into the official dating.
Oh, okay. Very new. Okay. So it's early. Got it.
Yeah. And it went on for maybe 6 months or something.
Okay. So one person or multiple, one person?
Oh, so
one
he was cheating. And it wasn't a one-time cheating. It was multiple times.
Fair.
Yeah. Wow. I'm very impressed that you guys got past that.
Yeah. That's a huge, that speaks to your emotional maturity.
Well, let's say if you had seen me then.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be saying so mature.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really mad.
Yeah.
I was really upset for a long time. And I really didn't know what was true. And, you know, you question your whole... You don't know.
If so you got re-triggered from that that initial thing that your parents bestowed on
exactly.
you.
Exactly. So that's why I had such a big reaction, says my witch therapist.
Yeah.
Was there like a moment or a specific reason you can remember why you didn't just leave?
I tried a lot of times and it just didn't. I was more unhappy.
Without him? Interesting. Okay.
It's like the songs always go.
Yes, I hear you. Yeah.
It's like the song's always good.
And he obviously came back to you as well.
So.
But when you were free, so you took his watch and you slammed it.
Yeah, but then I kept going, this is so well made. Because
it wouldn't break.
Isn't that annoying?
That
I was
sucks.
Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Wow, that is a beautiful watch.
There's nothing worse because I've gotten angry many times, not that long ago, so mad that you try to break something.
And
there's
you cannot.
Nothing worse than when you're so mad you throw a childlike temper mm-hmm. tantrum trying to break something and the object won't break and you get more angry.
Yeah, and being the comedian I am, I could of course appreciate the humor.
Of course, it's hilarious.
I'm a professional.
Yes, thank God.
I mean, it wasn't lost on me. Like, this is kind of funny. This is like slapsticky.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what was the question?
What else did you do that was rageful? That it was immature, according to you, with your reaction?
I guess it was, maybe I take that back. Maybe it wasn't immature, like hitting him, yelling at him, mm-hmm. going through the phone, demanding to know what's going on, demanding complete compliance.
Did you use that language?
Yeah.
Did you go through his phone in front of him or behind him?
Of course. Yeah. I'd be like, give me your phone.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see it.
Yeah. And was he like, okay.
Yeah. For the most part, he'd be like, okay. And sometimes he'd be like, are you fucking kidding me still? Yeah. He'd be like, I just had a thought that made me mad. So yes, still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is
yeah,
it
yeah.
still to this day if you say, give me the phone? Or not is
really.
That not
now
a thing?
We just talked last night. We're like, sometimes cheating is cool.
Oh, you did.
Sometimes cheating is cool. Like, that's or not, great. It's not cheating, but like maybe just once a year.
Oh, but so has there been cheating since that no. cheating?
I mean, not that I know of, but I'll yeah. never be so sure of anything again.
Right.
And that I guess that's a wound that does last. Like, does, I'll never say anything with complete certainty.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And you're fine with that. Okay.
I mean, that's life.
Well, yeah.
What do you know? You can't have complete certainty anyway. And there's sure. nothing I can do. I could stand there and watch what he does.
Sure.
I can't stop but him if it's no what he's going to do.
No,
I don't want to do that. Yeah, I don't want
to. You want to have fun too.
So, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just control elements of cheating that makes you like lose your shit. Mm-hmm. I think, and that's why I developed a cuckold fetish, because I'm like, if you fuck somebody in front of me, I then it's like okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah,
it turns me on so much, but I'm like, part of the turn on is the control.
Yeah,
because really, at the end of the day, I'm the one in control.
Right.
So I like that.
You're like, you're like roll sound.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
the director.
Stop fucking now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. You put a new hat on.
Roll sound.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
So cheating can make sex better. Cheating can be cool.
And it can ruin your life. It can be many things.
It can be many things. Yes. Wow. Yeah.
It's how you react to it, I guess. Yeah. And the state of your bond and your connection before, during, and after.
Yeah, I think you choose what you can live with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
And you like know? with your parents' instance, there was cheating, but it wasn't a good relationship. It wasn't meant to be. So
correct.
Instead of, you know, bowing out of it respectfully for everybody involved, there was chaos created.
And I think we don't have a family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that there was different elements in like my parents' situation where it's like, you're really like irresponsible. Whereas this, it's like, you know, we're just figuring it out.
Yeah, sure. That's all you can do. And you make up your own rules. You play by your own rules.
You do. I mean, and then, you know.
Did you have to go?
What your friends say.
Well, you're so funny. I was just going to ask you, you know, did you have friends that were like, when he cheated, they're like, fuck him. We hate him. And you were like, yeah, we do. We fuck him. And then you got back together and you're like, actually, we're back together now. So don't fuck
him. I mean, God bless my girls.
You know, just kind of got to roll with.
You really got to roll with it. And the truth is, some of the relationships, well, let me not say that.
Rewind.
Yeah, I just won't say that. yeah, I mean, of course, we put all this shit on the street.
Yeah.
And then I would, like, see them across the street.
Your friends?
And I'm with him again.
Yeah.
And I go, hide, bro.
It's good now.
No. I go, hide. Ah! It was like that for a little while. But at the end of the day, you're going to do what you're going to do. And, you know, at our age, friendship shouldn't be so close and codependent that it really matters who you date.
Well, I mean, I think friendship should be close, but I agree with you because I mean, I think the mistake is like it's like if you just never ask your friends what they think of your partner, then you're fine. You're in the clear. I never ask, and I don't care. Right. I truly don't. From the bottom of my heart, I don't care what my family or my friends think of my partner, as long as my partner is being nice. Yeah. Cordial to my friends.
For sure.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's true.
So the mistake is in the asking.
Right.
Because I'm like, also, I would never offer my opinion unless I was directly asked.
Yes.
Right. So that's another thing. Because I was like, some friends just fucking say, give you feedback. And I literally go, yeah, I've never asked you for feedback. So I don't care. I don't. It's not your boyfriend.
Someone said that to me the other day. They go, hey, I'm sorry if it sounded like I was asking for advice. I was like,
that's hilarious.
I was like, my bad, you're totally right.
Yeah, I'm gonna use that.
I was like, yo, totally right.
Yeah, because I used to have a toxic friendship with somebody that I'm not friends with anymore, but like we would give each other opinions on each other's relationships, and then she would go back to the guy that did something terrible, and I'm like, hey, that's just what you're gonna do. Like, it's okay. Like, we, you know, I'm not. But then when I would get back with a guy that she was like, and she would be like, Christine, I'm so disappointed in you. I'm like, right. Nah, I don't need another mom.
Yeah,
I don't need another mom.
I just feel like it shouldn't be so codependent.
Yeah.
Friendship should be like dinner, good vibes.
Yeah.
Shoulder to cry on, a friend to laugh with.
Have you had codependent friends before?
I am too guarded, I think.
Oh.
I'm not able to achieve that level of
intimacy?
Of friendship.
Does that affect you on a day-to-day, or do you miss that, or do you
wonder?
Yeah,
I wish I could sometimes.
Yeah. So the therapist you were working with for 8 years didn't teach you how to let your guard down?
She tried, but you know, we have our limits.
Yeah, for sure. That guard's thick.
Well, so the breath guy was telling me, he's like, you're so abnormally sensitive that like your whole personality is like just a really quick series of defenses to like keep yourself from. And I think that
interesting.
It doesn't really happen in my relationship. Like, we're very close.
Right.
But for whatever reason, friendships, it can be hard for me to like be a part of a group.
Oh, yeah.
Or like...
Well, it also seems like it took so much for you to get to the point with your boyfriend that you are at now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like, what am I going to do with a friend now?
Well, yeah.
way too much work.
We ain't going to Barbados.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Kind of exactly.
I'm going to fuck you in Barbados. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Because you committed so much time and so much energy to that. And yeah, you know, you're not going to fuck a friend in Barbados.
It's off the table. I mean, I could.
You could.
But. Why not? Open.
Do you want kids?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I'm getting scared, though, about the time.
Yeah.
It's going.
35.
Well, if you keep giving the ring back.
Yeah.
I know. Fuck, I know. Then this compounds.
Right.
Until I'm in a state where I can't even make think clearly.
It's a hamster wheel.
This is what happens, and I go, oh, my God, fuck. Like, I don't have time to blow in the wind anymore.
Yeah.
Blowing in the wind time, over.
Yeah.
Well, and also, so what to you is the difference? You've already been with this guy for 7 years.
We're already married, basically.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. So where's the fear then coming from? And you've already been through so much and gotten through it.
Something about, like, just the idea of, like, it's legal, it's official, and if you make a mistake, your life is over.
That's what your mom said, yeah.
Why can't you have a kid before you get married?
No, you're right. It's not like,
yeah, it's your brain.
It's not logical.
Yeah.
Because like you've been together for 7 years, just have a kid if it's the wedding that's freaking you out.
Yeah.
There's no order that you got to do things
then,
in.
Then, okay, here's another level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like I go, so what, we get engaged and then we have to have a wedding and then like I don't have any friends.
Because your walls.
Because of my walls.
Okay.
I do have friends. Okay, but
and you also don't have to have a wedding. Friends,
but this okay. is just like what I tell myself.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it's the loop.
I go, who will come?
It's the loop.
Yeah,
hopefully not a lot of people. You save money. True. Then you could go to Barbados again.
You're true. Or you could just do a Vegas wedding. Do you want? Would you want a big wedding? Would you want no. like a?
Yes, I literally don't. Like that's why this. It's like a. It's just a
you
maze.
Don't even have to get married.
It's a fake maze.
Right. Because like, some of these are irrational fears.
They're not even like things yeah. I care about.
Right.
Well, and it's, you're, I don't
right.
care.
Your right, mind right, can right, just. Right. Your mind just churns out shit. Right. Your mind just churns out thoughts all day and all night, and you choose which ones to grab hold of. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's just like, you know, tradition is why you grab hold of certain yeah. thoughts. But
that
like
shit's flowing by, you just go, come here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, fuck. How do I know what I actually fucking feel and what's just a thought that I clung to?
Yeah.
But would you? Do you want to get married? Because you don't have to.
Yeah, I want to have a family.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess that seems like something you're supposed to do. But it's not as important to me. And due to the fact that it is causing me such terror, I mean.
Yeah. Is it important to your boyfriend?
No.
Oh,
he was doing it because I said I wanted it years ago.
So wait, what if you guys never got married but had a family?
Probably.
Yeah, you should do that. Yeah. That's so much money you save.
And it's cool.
And if you want kids, I wanted to ask you, like, I go through these phases of wanting kids and then not wanting them. And I'm currently like, I can't imagine giving all my time to a kid.
No. Wait, I like how the phase, because last week you announced that you wanted kids. Literally last week. And then the week before you said no.
Well, Mother's Day. Yeah. It's flip flop. So to me, I go, well, like if my rule with tattoos, if I want a tattoo consistently for 1 year, then I will revisit it and possibly get it. I only have two. But with the kids thing, I'm two back and forth. When you want one, like, what is that? How does that come up in your life? Like, what does that look like?
I just feel like I'm a mom.
Okay.
You always feel that in your soul?
Like, yeah, like, I want a daughter.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, I always say if I could 100% guarantee a daughter, then I'd have a much different perspective on having kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If I could guarantee daughter, yeah.
Can you?
You can. You can.
It's a little interfering.
Yeah,
but,
we have that hasn't been around long enough. That's like LASIK. Right. You got to wait a good decade, and then we will talk about it.
Yeah,
but no. But I mean, yeah, no. And I mean, I can't guarantee a daughter. Also, adoption. Like I could if
that's
I wanted
true.
To.
That's
yeah.
true. That's true.
I think adopt that shop. It'll like my full circle life is like that. I have a daughter, and then I like give her a better time.
Uh huh.
Right.
I feel like a lot of that. That's a very common reason that people want.
Yeah.
To do better. So what's your relationship with your mom right now?
Honestly, pretty chill.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Love
nice.
Her.
Oh, that's great.
Just seen her yesterday.
And she's doing well.
She lives in Queens, so it's like I see her all the time, you know?
Oh, that's great.
Has she ever apologized for it? I'm guessing she was like kind of not present for
a good portion.
Let
me just tell you something. If I was waiting for the apologies,
yeah, then
you'd be smoking much more than cigarettes.
Okay?
You gotta be waiting a long time.
Interesting.
Well, you have to, giving
actually,
up on
actually, you know
that.
What? My mom will Venmo me $300 sometimes.
That's her form of
you know that's the apology?
It helps.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
Right. Yeah.
It helps.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't know how to use their words.
No, but she gets money. She'll say, sorry, I was such a bad mom. But
that's not heartfelt, though. I understand what you're saying, but I think that's for people of that generation.
100 Irish people? Come on.
Oh, and Irish on top of
and
it.
And then a $300 Venmo? Hun. You're not getting anything better.
Yeah.
So you just go over there and you love that woman.
That's beautiful.
You go over there and get that fucking woman a hug.
You are 100% correct.
Yeah, we have a great relationship.
Good.
I have a good relationship with my dad, too. I mean, I just make the best, and I just think that I was saying on my podcast, that's what I heard, rate, review, subscribe, I think that having a challenging relationship with your parents like really prepares you to really meet people where they are.
100%. And that's why I was so stunned when I went into the real world and met a bunch of absolute insane men and maniacs that I was like, I have no idea I've never been treated so poorly in my entire life. And I think if you had a bad childhood, you're like, oh, I'm used to being treated poorly.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is actually, well equipped to handle this.
Doesn't even register. Darkness has been a part of my world since I was a wee one.
Yeah. Or like if every adult told me that every other adult was a liar. So now I don't totally take strong sides because I go, I really can see most people's side.
Wait, so was that because of the cheating that adults were telling you?
Like that whole parental group. So I go, I think they're all right.
Interesting.
Well, they're all right in their own head.
Yeah,
that's
all right.
What's really happening. They all think they're right. And people build their worlds. It's wild though, like, you know, when you're an adult or when you're a child, you're supposed to have, the adults are supposed to like know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or like, at least feel like they got a handle. And so watching a parent emotionally fall apart, that's where's your rock?
It's tough. Yeah. Where's my rock?
Where is her rock?
At the store, I think.
Yeah, so. You don't want it yet. But it does seem like it makes more sense for the two of you to never get married.
You know what? I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And so
that's all. That's
how it goes.
So you're still obsessed with him after 7 years? Documentation.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, get away from me immediately.
Of course.
You can't. That will be the way it is.
Yeah.
You can't escape that unless you get a really big house.
Right. Yeah. The person I was with for 7 years, we had a 2-story apartment, so that was very helpful.
That's pretty good.
That was very helpful. But I was pretty obsessed with him until the very end.
Obsessed. Good. So what else can you ask for, you know? What is the most important trait in a friend and why?
Oh, that's the only thing you should ask yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question for you.
Dinner?
Dinner's not a trait.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. No.
Fun to go to dinner
that's
with
your
is
walls
a trait.
Talking, Frex.
Fun to go to dinner with is a trait.
So no. Fun is a trait.
Yeah, fun. Yeah.
But what does fun mean to you in a friend? Mm. Like willing to prank, willing to...
Pranks? God, no.
Okay. That's fun for me.
You love a prank? Are
I
you
love
a prankster?
Pranks. And I when I'm with another prankster, it's mischievous. I like being mischievous.
Mm, okay. I don't even like speaking to people on the subway. This is why I have trouble with friends, because like you go
who likes speaking to people on the subway?
Some of these friends,
I think it's kind of fun.
Some of the girls want to chat on the subway.
Oh, just chat like chit-chat. Just like, how was your day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that I don't do.
I like chatting with people at like the people who work at Duane Reade. Like, actually, that's my favorite people to talk to, I would say, because I was thinking yesterday, like, sometimes I don't like doing stand-up anymore, but I still love making people laugh. And I'm like, oh, it's because I feel like the people that I'm trying to make laugh these days don't deserve it. Right. Whereas, like, I made the guy at Duane Reade laugh yesterday, and I was like, he deserved it. Like, that's why I got into this, like, to make someone's day better, not to make some fucking privileged person in Brooklyn go, like,
I will say,
that's not why I'm in the game.
I did a show in Brooklyn a couple nights ago, and you are so correct. Not that I didn't think you were, but I'm like, damn, it is such a different audience in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You can't say shit.
Like, the whole place on fire.
You can't say negative things about people when you're set in Brooklyn.
You can't say negative things about yourself.
Yes. I'm like, that's the fucking point.
That's what drives me crazy.
Yep.
And now maybe everything I have to say is too negative about myself. Fine. But
that's funny.
But that's my choice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That would, as an audience member, that would make me feel better. I want to hear that. Like, self-deprecation is hilarious.
Well, I can't wait until the world gets all their comedians to be healthy and they find out how unfunny it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Disgusting.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I really couldn't tell you.
Yeah. You live in the moment.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
I can't imagine a future for myself.
Nah, that was
depressing.
Were you always like that?
No, I've always been like that.
Okay. Yeah.
And the future's gone along just fine.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that.
Right. What would you say, because I think it's so we have to end soon, but I think it's really cool. I love that there's an example of a couple that there was cheating and then you worked through it. What would you say if you were to give somebody tips, like, you know, a couple tips to a couple who had cheating happen in occur in their relationship, what would they be? Because you're on the other side of it, so you have a lot of wisdom to shed.
I think that for me, it was accepting that I could have done it too.
Interesting.
So that means you feel less powerless?
Yeah, that like not he's not evil.
Oh,
like, he was in a tough situation.
He's human
and
flawed.
He was in a complicated situation.
Okay.
And if I was... like, I could see a version of myself who would have done the same thing.
Interesting. Totally. So you put yourself in
and then
shoes.
So you go, you know what?
That's true.
And how would I want to be treated? You want to be held accountable, but you don't want to be punished till you're dead.
For sure. Yeah, because a relationship cannot work on that.
For anything, you don't want to be punished till you're dead. It's got to end sometime.
Mm-hmm. Life is already a punishment till you die.
I agree.
You damn fucking right. Yeah. Hachi? You're right.
Sure. Yeah, totally. People used to call me that in middle school. The teacher I was in love with called me Hachi.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Any other tips? So that's
I guess that's the big one. The other one is vacation.
Together.
Just go on a lot
tropical
of vacations.
Islands.
Ooh.
Tropics only. If you don't fight in... Please, do not fight in Brooklyn. Fight in the tropics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ruin the tropics.
Right.
Yeah.
Was he paying for all these?
Yes.
Okay.
You get down there, you get on the beach, and you cause a scene.
Oh, really?
Wow. Do not do it in Bushwick, please.
Yeah. What a waste.
Get down there.
Yeah.
Get down to PR.
Right.
Get down to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Get down to Aruba.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These are all places we went. Barbados. Everywhere.
Wow. You took a lot of vacations with him.
Yeah.
And he paid for all of them?
Yeah, he did.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
It does seem like another element that seems like it's helpful. Maybe not required, but helpful, is if the person who cheated is like very sorry throughout mm-hmm. your freakouts. Not to the point where it's like, I don't want to be punished forever. Obviously, that's, you know, you have to draw a line somewhere. But their sorriness is another vital ingredient to it potentially working out afterwards.
It's yeah, I should have started with that.
Yeah.
They have to give a shit. A lot of shits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to make new memories together, they have to put in a lot of effort.
Yeah.
It's yes. really corny, yeah. but you have to no, replace.
That is invaluable.
These memories will eat you alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
These horrors.
Mm-hmm.
These like just spikes in your, I don't know what you call it. The spikes.
Adrenaline.
Will kill you.
Yeah.
If you don't put some, get down to the tropics.
Yeah. Get down to Barbados. Start fighting
get
on the beach.
Get a fucking coconut.
Yeah.
Just fuck there.
Yeah.
Don't fuck here. Get out of here. Just go fuck there.
Oh, yeah. Frex, this has been incredible. Thank you so much.
I love you guys.
On the podcast.
Can't believe you know. I never really met you in person.
No, I know. When you walked it's in, been, I was like, "Oh, I feel like I know you, but I've never met you in person."
Yeah, during the pandemic, I remember our good friend Donna Guerrero was such a big fan of yours, and she turned me on to you. And she was like, "She's gonna blow up. She's gonna blow up." And then she watched you blow up. I'm like, "Fuck yeah, love that.
See." I mean, I still do the books for a Palmer, so
yeah.
Blowing up is different levels, but
you were on a TV show.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I like life.
And on that note, this has been Guys We Fucked the Ant. Oh, where can we find you?
Oh, plug yourself. Oh my God, Mikey, ready? Listen to my fucking podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. It's called That's What I Heard. It's my version, not the Irish ones, the same name. Thank you.
Okay. And then online and at?
Oh, Lil Frex, LilFrexxx.
All right. Do it. You know how to do it, guys. Follow her. This has been Guys We Fucked the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.